being aware that we play in a high-risk environment with both the data of miners and also financial, although it's fictitious financial data, we are collecting some information about customers that could pertain to their realities or their family's realities. So we always knew we had to do a good job of this. But as a startup, we had to be able to resource that, and we were restricted by our budgets. So over time, we knew that we wanted to get to a point where we could consider privacy and security more holistically, and it not necessarily be owned by one person, that they put the privacy and security hat on, but it actually had layers throughout our entire organisation that were interconnected, and people could see how those connections fit together. So a big part of that has been finding the right solution for us that fits our age and stage and also fits the budget. So it's been great working, you know, with the likes of Onwardly.
Welcome everyone to the latest episode of Upwards. It's great to have you here. Upwards is a podcast for tech leaders and security folks and anyone interested in the intersection of technology, leadership, startups, and security and privacy. That's what we're all about. So today I'm joined by Kendall Flutie. Welcome, Kendall.
Thanks, Phil. Great to be here.
It's great to have you here on the podcast, and this is kicking off our latest installation of the Upwards podcast. It's really nice to have you as a guest. So Kendall is a customer. She's also a really, really impressive person. So I've got a whole list of things to read about Kendall here. So I'm going to try and get this right, but I want to introduce her because I think, you know, she's done some amazing things, and she's got some incredible things to say for us today. So I think this episode is extra special. So Kendall is founder and CEO of Banker, a hands-on digital platform that helps kids and teens get curious, creative, and confident with money. So really, really interesting stuff. With a background in accounting, economics, and web development, Kendall's unconventional path led her to found two startups before Banker. In 2018, Kendall was recognized for her efforts in raising the financial capability of over 150,000 students being named 2018 Young Māori Business Leader, and in 2019, the Young New Zealander of the Year. So we're going to talk a little bit about her drive to address social issues, particularly in youth education, and that's how that mission has helped shaped Banker, her latest venture in that. So hopefully I got all that right.
Yeah,
there's quite a bit there. But welcome again, Kendall. It's actually really cool to have you on the show.
Yeah, nice. It is cool to be here, especially given, you know a bit about you and Onwardly. So I'm really excited to share a bit about my journey.
Indeed. Well, let's dive into it. I think I would love to hear tell me about your journey with co-founding Banker, you know, and, you know, it's always a journey, isn't it? You know, people don't just start one business, they often start many businesses. So tell us a little bit about how you got starting Banker and how, what your mission is and how you came to this point in your entrepreneurial journey.
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, I've got a background in accounting. I had a bit of a false start into my first career. I worked at KPMG. I only lasted 6 months there. Just, it wasn't the right job for me. I love accountants. Ours are fantastic, but it was just a bit of a misfit. And so I had to go back to the drawing board around what was right for me. And it was sort of the first time in my educational journey that I considered not only what I thought or rethought what success was to me, but also I started considering the role I played in terms of the impact that we can all leave on the world. And so really, when I thought about it and I spent time talking to people, tech shone through really brightly. And I had a pretty short financial runway after leaving my accounting job. So I had to make some decisions quickly. And I retrained in tech. I did a quick 12-week boot camp with Dev Academy, Aotearoa. I was the first cohort through. So a little risky. Right. My mum thought it was quite risky, given there was no real precedent set by a cohort before us. But to my mind, they had to get us right because we were their beta. So I was really excited to join that.
Nothing like being the guinea pigs, yeah.
Exactly. Loved it. And it was a fantastic learning experience for me. And it sort of broadened my understanding of what education can look like as well, which is something that a great skill that obviously shows up strongly in what I do today. Then I worked as a software developer and I knew that this was the industry for me. And I got to work on lots of interesting problems for interesting clients. And then only when I was sort of at my happiest did the opportunity for Banker come along. And then really came along through a conversation with my brother who was learning about money at school. He was just 12 years old, but he was talking about investment strategies, progressive tax systems, And I knew that financial education made a real difference in his world. So I teamed up with his teacher, now one of my co-founders, and a few others. And Banker was born in a weekend.
Wow, just like that. So who's your co-founder, if you don't mind me asking?
Of course, absolutely. They're a big part of the story. So my co-founder's Micah Hockard, who was my brother's teacher. He's now a principal. We could never pry him away from education full-time. It's his calling. Ben Wigley, an amazing influence for me, a really incredible developer and thinker in the tech space. And Mark McHardy, who is an incredible interactive designer, and he is responsible for everything you see visually when it comes to Banker.
Nice. I do love your brand, you know, so it's clearly you've got some great talent on the team there in terms of the whole sort of feel of a Banker. It's great. You know, it's an interesting group of people, isn't it? I mean, you probably don't get too many school principals starting sort of startups as well. So that's quite a journey, let alone accountants probably, you know, and so it's really cool actually. And sometimes it requires people to really be in a certain place and time and have knowledge and experience in certain industries to actually start them, you know, and sometimes security and privacy is no different to it all. So you've got four of you running. So there's four co-founders total. You wear many hats in the business. You're CEO. You're still a kind of reasonably small company. So you're juggling spinning lots of plates like many companies. How do you balance your involvement, you know, with things like product development, relationship management, you know, sales, marketing, user experience, all of those things? I'm asking for a friend as well because, you know.
I mean, I'm also asking for a friend. It is a constant balancing act and tension. I obviously referred to my co-founders and mentioned that Micah is still a principal and Ben doesn't work for the company full time and Mark does a lot of other work too. So really in terms of that co-founder presence in the day-to-day capacity, it's myself and my co-CEO actually, who was very first employee, early sort of status in the company. So another leader, and that co-leadership piece, I think, has been a big part of our evolution over the last few years. And that's been a real enabler in terms of that juggling act, because we're able to have our specialization as leaders, but also there's a lot of gray stuff that us as co-CEOs can jump in between, depending on whose plate is the most full, who potentially has current capabilities or strengths, recent strengths they've developed in the space. So that's been a real sort of secret sauce for us. It's also just more enjoyable with a co-CEO. I found that you don't really shoulder as much individually. We can have really meaningful discussions that are obviously pretty transparent at the company level, but there's nothing like someone being ultimately in the same trench as you and able to share some of that burden or maybe stress, perceived stress at the time. The other thing is, I think, just knowing ultimately what is going to move the needle. So understanding your strategy and how that tethers to your day-to-day work and being ruthless with prioritization. And it's easier said than done, and I get really attracted to shiny things, so I'm imperfect. But fundamentally, that's constantly what I have to be able to do as a co-leader in this business.
That's such a challenge, isn't it? I resonate with that really, really strongly. There's no shortage of things to do, and it's really easy to feel like you're really busy, but you're not necessarily moving the needle.
We've
all been in that trap, you know, it's like, oh, I need to fill out this application for this thing, I need to do this and do all that, and it's all kind of, it has to be done, but at the end of the day, what really shifts, what really gets results? I've been thinking about this a little bit recently as well, and one of the things that I challenge myself to do, kind of even almost a daily basis now, I say, what's the boldest thing I can do today to move to, like, you know, cause sometimes it's like, it's that call you need to make, or it's that little email you need to send to initiate some sort of partnership or to ask for help in some area that actually will, you know, could change the game, could make a giant leap forward. And for me personally, it's always a challenge to kind of procrastinate and don't do those things amidst everything else. And so always a challenge for everybody. Someone once said to me, as I was sort of working in the last startup I was part of, they said, there's no shortage of ideas and things to do. There's only a shortage of focus and attention. That really stuck
so
with me
true.
A long time.
One hot tip that I've had from a coach, I'm part of the Coralis Network, formerly called CEO this year. So as part of that, I get an awesome coach. And she shared the four D's with me. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but anything that comes across my plate, I run through sequentially, whether I can delegate it, defer it, dump it, and if I can't do any of those three things, I'll do it.
Oh, nice. I like that. I think I might have heard that a long time ago. It's a really good reminder, actually. So what is it? So it's delegate it, dump it.
Yep.
No, don't delegate, defer, dump, do.
Do, exactly. Yeah. It's a pretty useful tool, especially when things aren't, you're never really in a leadership position, or actually lots of roles, you're never really comparing apples to apples. So I find it a really useful framework.
Yeah, and this is something I struggle with as well, it's when you know how to do something and you can just do it, really quickly.
Yes.
But you actually need to delegate it. At the end of the day, you need someone else, the team, to kind of work with you on that. And that's a tricky balance when it's like, I know I could do this. Because delegation is hard and you have to brief people and all do all these things. But at the end of the day, if you're stuck doing all these things that are not necessarily going to be moving the needle, like we say, then we're not realizing the opportunity as much. So always a challenge for anyone out there leading a team, running a company. So let's dig into Banker a little bit more. What challenges did you face building Banker from an idea to a classroom staple, right? It's great to sort of build a startup in a weekend, but as we all know, it's really about the evolution and the execution of that and bringing that to market and stuff like that. Tell me a little bit about the challenges you faced in that journey so far.
Three sort of key challenges. Yes, so far. That's a really good shout out. There'll be more to come. So far, three key challenges in the journey. One has been a curriculum sort of restriction or restraint. So financial education, improving the financial literacy of the next generation of our rangatahi, I think at a high fundamental level is something that every New Zealander would say, great, great idea, let's do that thing. But the practicality of introducing it to the schooling sector, who is very much so driven by curriculum requirements, meant that we were sort of disconnected and we didn't fit in nicely like a maths platform might. So there was a real challenge for us to overcome in how we communicated our proposition, how we aligned with the curriculum, and how we made financial literacy work along other subjects that are core curriculum. And that took us a good few years to get our heads around and really present something that was compelling. And in order to achieve that, we also had to work really closely with our customers, educators, and also have some sort of relationship with the Ministry of Education as well. So that was the first big challenge for us. The second is all around focus. There are a lot of opportunities for us that popped up, as I'm sure may resonate with people listening to this. We'd get emails from South Africa. There was some legislation that went in there around 6 years ago that prioritized financial education. And do we turn to that opportunity now? Do we focus and follow the course towards our current strategy? It's really hard to know how to navigate opportunities versus making sacrifices against progress of our current strategies. And I don't necessarily think I've mastered that, but getting some strong advisors and a formal governance structure in place reasonably early on has meant that I'm not responsible or accountable for all of those decisions. And I get some really clear direction from essentially my bosses as to how I can focus at that highest level. And the last challenge for me has been, we're an impact business. We're a registered certified B Corp. So that means we value our purpose alongside our profit. Don't get me wrong, I'm very commercially minded. I want Banker to be super profitable, but that's because I believe in a virtuous circle where our profit will fuel a greater purpose and impact, therefore, in the world. And juggling those two side by side, when sometimes they can create a bit of tension and cause friction between one another, has been a real art and a continuous professional development. It's been continuous professional development for me as well.
Yeah, I bet. Did let me ask you a question. Is Banker the same now in terms of its sort of product and strategy than it was in that weekend that you created it? Or have you must have gone through different sort of evolutions and focuses on where it ended up?
You're totally right. Yeah, we've changed a lot. So that weekend, our theory was that we would be a paid solution that schools would use. Then we ran into that curriculum issue. We also had some perverse outcomes where only high socioeconomic schools or private schools were using our platform, which isn't really necessarily the outcomes we're wanting in terms of impact. So we flipped the model completely and we worked with some amazing business partners, including KiwiBank, who remains one of our business partners today, to make the platform completely free and accessible. But then we the pendulum swung too far the other way, and we didn't necessarily have that commercial scalability we wanted. So where we are now is we maximize accessibility and scalability by having two products. Financial education is completely free for primary schools through Bank of Primary, and then it's a subscription-based platform in the secondary school space. So yeah, it's been a real evolution, and we actually have a third wave evolution that we're talking about at board level, and I'm really excited to see the commercial drivers of that come to play and actually in turn what impact that means for all of Aotearoa. So yeah, we got it totally wrong to start with, but we were responsive.
Right, and so watch the space for the third evolution. It's really interesting, isn't it? Because I think, you know, a lot of technical founders will be listening to this, and, you know, I'm speaking sort of more of my own experience, but I'm sure some people share it as well, is that you think that the code and the technology and the product is actually the key thing, that if only this changes or if only that changes, then everything will sort of fall into place. And it might be true in some cases, but often it's actually the business model, and it's the you know, you were just talking about sort of different ways of even funding and the commercial sort of orientation around the same, virtually, I'd assume, kind of almost the same product in some ways. But those changes at that level can have a phenomenal impact on the on the trajectory of the business.
I totally agree. So, that for us was the real enabler. Our tech's pretty cool. I'm biased, obviously, and I'm a former software developer, so I do really value the contribution of tech and code. But at the same time, I think other people could do what we do, and we have had people replicate what we've done as well. And fundamentally, it's our ability to meet the market and meet the market with a really strong strategy that, yeah, holds us out in front.
Yeah, indeed. And that sort of leads me nicely, actually, a little segue to the next point, is that, you know, security and privacy is very much a technical problem, but it's also an organizational people and process challenge as well. You know, we've seen this a lot. Onward has been around about 3 years. And we've seen companies, you know, who a lot of our customers are actually very technically focused. You know, they're great developers, they're great builders of product and tech, and they usually have, you know, security really well buttoned up in some areas, but haven't sort of applied as much thought or hadn't had enough time to do stuff in other areas as well. Tell me a little bit about, you know, how you think about security and privacy. I know, you know, you've got an interest, you know, pretty unique sort of collection of data and the environment that you operate in with, you know, being an education product, etc. So tell me a little bit about how you practice security and you know, how you ensure the safety of the information that you have.
Yeah, it's so critical, isn't it? And when you look at what can break a company overnight, typically relates to security and privacy. So it's not something we take lightly. In terms of our journey to where we are today, I think initially it was very segmented. So we did think of it in silos, and it was a tech problem to solve, and Ben would be responsible for setting up an appropriate architecture and have the tooling that would meet the expectations of our customers. And then we would have myself or my co-CEO, Simon, overseeing office-based privacy and security, or team member-based privacy and security. Being aware that we play in a high-risk environment with both the data of minors and also financial, although it's fictitious financial data, we are collecting some information about customers that could pertain to their realities or their family's realities. So we always knew we had to do a good job of this. So we did the siloed approach, and then we would get professional support from the likes of lawyers. But as a startup, we had to be able to resource that, and we were restricted by our budgets. So over time, we knew that we wanted to get to a point where we could consider privacy and security more holistically, and it not necessarily be owned by one person, that they put the privacy and security hat on, but it actually had layers throughout our entire organization that were interconnected, and people could see how those connections fit together. So a big part of that has been finding the right solution for us that fits our age and stage and also fits the budget. So it's been great working, you know, with the likes of Onwardly, that's given us that visibility. It's also super accessible. I'm not an expert in this space. You heard my background. I don't have a legal background, and this is the tool that I fundamentally own. And given we don't have someone in that dedicated seat, it's been fantastic to give us that holistic vision, and more importantly, a roadmap that doesn't feel overwhelming to make improvements. Mm. So I'm actually really excited, and the team's been really excited. I never thought I'd say that about our security and privacy and security roadmap. For it's a long-term roadmap, so we're sort of thinking about it on a 24-month horizon initially, but it gives everyone, I guess, peace of mind as to how we invest in this company isn't going to be brought down by something unforeseen or something preventable.
Yeah, indeed. And especially, you know, the nature of certain industries, it's make or break, you know, and to do this and to do it well. And so I'm really encouraged by your story, actually. I think it's really, really typical of many early stage companies and the sorts of challenges that they're going through. But it makes me super encouraged to see how you've tackled this and how you've distributed that workload with the team and how you're making real progress. So well done.
Thank you.
It's really cool. Really cool. Looking ahead, what excites you? You know, you mentioned you're a B Corp company. You're very mission driven and mm-hmm. it's profits and it's the outcomes you're looking for with children's education and things like that as well. Tell us about, you know, what's the big long-term dream here? What's the, you know, what excites you about the mission ahead? You know, what does Banker look like in 5 to 10 years time?
I'm so excited about a day where we have an entire generation who feels that they can navigate our financial system with ease, that they as an individual feel safe and they know how to protect themselves, and they are able to make the financial decisions they need to attain financial success, whatever their definition may be, because it's different for all of us. Mm. And then as solid individuals in themselves, they can help their communities to do that, they can help their families do that, and they can contribute to a thriving national economy. They're going to be the entrepreneurs of the future. They're going to be challenging bad actors in the sector. We may even have reduced regulation as a result of the reduction in friction. I really think if we can see an entire generation financially educated, we will have a transformative shift in what our economy and not just economic factors, but our well-being more broadly looks like. And I know it's a big, bold vision, but I am really encouraged. We're starting to see some Banker graduates who are now entering the financial world as 20-year-olds, and we're hearing them tell their stories about how they're avoiding buy now, pay later tools, or they are regularly saving for something, or they're investing in an educated manner in the stock market. So it's very early days, but I think if we can stay the course and we can ensure that we take everyone on this journey, maybe I'm going to push out that 5 year, the next 20 years is going to be a pretty exciting time.
Yeah, that's exciting. I love that. And, you know, it hasn't been, it certainly wasn't part of the curriculum when I went to school, you know, and I don't know of how much of it is these days informally baked into it, but it strikes me that, you know, the quality of your financial education probably very much determined the type of family you were born into and the situation, you know, that you had virtually no control over, really. And so that's amazing, really, to me, to hear that, you know, that these people, you know, everyone, virtually every child in New Zealand and beyond potentially can have this level of education and input that will make a material difference in their world, in their life. You know, our finances can be a source of great freedom and great stress and sort of everything in between. So that's incredible. Very, very cool. I love that vision.
Yeah, it's pretty motivating. Cool. So I'm excited by it.
Very, very cool. Well, look, I think this probably draws us to a natural sort of end for this episode. So, look, thank you, Kendall. It's really, really cool to hear about your journey and your story creating Banker in the startup world that you've sort of navigated and grown through. So thank you for sharing that with us. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Kendall.
This is Upwards, the podcast for security and tech leaders, brought to you by Onwardly. Don't forget to rate and review wherever you get your podcasts, and join us again next time for more on security, startups, and leadership.